Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Brooks Shoemaker, who heads up the Bedford County Rural Electric, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Bill Schuster, your congressman, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, every day is Independence Day. Executive Director Mary Grattan says assisted living is on the way.
Where you come in, there'll be nursing that will be there. They'll help you with medication, dressing, bathing. There'll be breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our main restaurant, the cafe, will be open for evening meals as well.
Call Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new at 623-0349. That's Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is B. Wise of Somerset Trust, Vice President and Commercial Loan Officer. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
So there I am, minding my own business. I'm talking to B. Wise over at his new bank job at the Somerset Trust, who you heard on this program just a few weeks ago. And he said, what you need to do is go talk to Brooks Shoemaker. And I said, okay, so we'll call Brooks Shoemaker. And I find out that he has this fascinating job, been here, I understand, 20-some years, and he runs the rural electric outfit for this county. And I thought, well, I've never been to a cooperative or a rural electric of any kind in my life, so this will be really fun to do that. So Brooks, thanks a million. I appreciate your taking the time to talk to us this morning.
Glad to be here.
Could you give us kind of a Reader's Digest version of what this whole cooperative rural electric thing is about, and why did it start? Is it old or new? Is it a few years ago, or when did it start?
Well, the rural electric program was founded in the 30s as REA, the Rural Electric Administration. And in those days, and even today, we're still referred to as the REA. Hmm. It came about because the investor-owned power companies that served Bedford and Altoona and the other towns across Pennsylvania found that it was not economically feasible to run lines into the countryside. And like we're sitting at the edge of Bedford right now in our office, and as close as a mile and a half away from here, the folks did not have access to power. And a group of the farmers got together as a result of the REA Act, and they formed cooperatives, and they chipped in $5 a piece, which was a lot of money in those days,
yeah.
and made an investment into a nonprofit electric organization, and here we are 78 years later.
So the shareholders of the outfit are its members?
We don't have shareholders. We have members.
Members, okay.
Each person that takes service from the co-op is a partial owner of the business.
So as a businessman, I would want to ask, so the more power you buy, the bigger the member you become? Is that something like that? Or
That's exactly right.
Huh.
Each year, we're nonprofit, and
right.
Each year, at the end of the year, once the bills are paid and the obligations are taken care of, whatever our profit was for the year is allocated back to the members who took service from us in that given year. And at some year subsequent to that, that money will be returned to them in forms of capital credits.
Really?
It's a unique business model. But what it does is the folks who are invested in the co-op as members,
right,
are the only people who are invested in the co-op. We're governed by a 9-member board of directors who are also members. They are elected by their fellow members at an annual meeting each year.
Right.
And, you know, you don't have influences from stockholders in Atlanta or Philadelphia or San Francisco. The cooperative is governed by our friends and our neighbors.
So are you on the power grid of the United States?
Sure.
So PDM, I'm familiar with them because
PJM.
PJM. I just moved here from Philadelphia. I know they have that big PJM thing down there. So I went there and I saw how they bought and sold power at the speed of light. It was very fascinating.
Impressive facility.
So when you generate excess power here, does your power go to that?
We do not generate power here in Bedford County.
Okay.
We all 13 co-ops in Pennsylvania and the sole co-op in New Jersey are owners of Allegheny Electric Cooperative, our G&T, our Generation and Transmission Provider Cooperative
in Harrisburg. But they're also a cooperative.
They're also a cooperative. And they own the hydro facility at Racetown Lake. And we also own part of a nuclear facility in Susquehanna.
So Racetown was built as a power generation plant.
Partially, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they built the lake for that reason.
Yes.
To make power. Interesting. Yep. So was that built by that cooperative back then?
That's actually owned and built by the Corps of Engineers.
Really?
Yeah, the Army Corps.
It's getting more fascinating by the moment. Okay, so I'm a member, and let's say I have a farm somewhere, I don't know, out in your service area someplace. And I obviously purchase power from my farm to run my livestock and all this stuff. So every time I pay a bill, do I enhance my membership in the cooperative? I'm just trying to get my arms around how to understand this economically.
Well, you enhance your ability or your you may get a larger return of capital credits at some point in the future.
Right.
However, one of the hallmarks of co-ops is it's one member and one vote. So when we have our annual meeting each April, and we've got 9 directors, 3 of which are up for election each year.
Gotcha.
Each member has a single vote to come and vote for the director of their choice.
Mm-hmm. Do the members come to your meetings?
They do. As many as we'd like,
you
obviously.
You know, we're all coming.
Well,
big room.
You would need a big room. We get about 10% that come to the meetings.
Well, this is fascinating. So how big is your service area?
We've got about 1,300 miles of primary line throughout the county. We've got just a handful of members in Somerset County, a handful of members in Fulton County. We extend north into the Imler area, almost into Claysburg, and south about halfway to Cumberland.
So where I live in the borough of Bedford, we're served by Penelec or First Energy or whatever they call themselves. Are you in any way interconnected with them or not?
With Penelec?
Yeah.
All of the power that we provide to our members travels through the Penelec system to get to our substations.
I see.
Yeah.
So if I have a drop into my house somewhere out in the country, is that a Penelec wire or your wire?
No, it's our wire.
Okay.
For instance, behind our office here is one of our substations.
Yes.
A Penelec transmission line actually provides power to that substation, and then our lines distribute it
throughout
the country.
So they're the source, but you're the distribution system.
Yes, they're the transmission provider. We're the distribution system.
Okay. Our guest, I didn't mean to get too much in the weeds there, but that's very interesting. Our guest is Brooks Shoemaker, and you are the manager here?
I'm the general manager, CEO.
General manager, CEO. It's a pleasure. B was right. You are a big shot. He told me you were.
No one's a big shot in the cooperative world.
I guess so, right? Yeah. So you're a member as well, I assume.
I am.
Okay, well, this is super. I always wanted to talk to you about this because I've driven past here a zillion times since I've lived in Bedford, and there you are with your substation in the back. You're easy to find that way because you're the only one on this road that has its own substation. So tell me about Camp Hartley. Before we started, you told me that less than 2 miles from Bedford, there was this little burg off on the river called Camp Hartley. When did this whole thing start?
The Bedford Rural Electric Cooperative was incorporated in June of 1939. We had an office in town. As we began to construct our distribution lines, we built our first substation was in the Camp Hartley area, which is just east of Bedford near the Narrows Bridge.
Right.
And we turned the power on in Camp Hartley, the first, our first our first foray into electricity,
so
I
this
suppose.
This is your first customers.
In December of 1939, using that Camp Hartley substation, which is no longer there.
Right. So, and it grew from there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I interviewed Mr. B. Miller, Brenny B. Miller, about a year ago, about a totally unrelated subject, I was talking about his life, which is fascinating unto itself. He told me that he went out and dug telephone, or rather utility poles, by hand. And he worked here in the 40s. So I'm assuming you upgraded from that. But that was quite a story. He told me there was a crew of young men like himself who went out and did that one at a time because they were still building out the infrastructure at that time.
Yeah, and we continued to build the infrastructure even today. But in the 40s and the 50s and into the 60s, we were actively building lines and facilities. And when Bernie started here as a lineman, digging holes with a shovel on the end of a 10 or 12 foot handle.
He told me it was long because it had to go way down.
In the hole.
Yeah.
And they dug the holes by hand, and they set the poles by hand as well. Quite a back-breaking way to make a living. Bernie progressed from a lineman up until when he retired in 86 or 87. He was the general manager of the cooperative.
So are any Bernie's poles still up, you think?
Probably not. We hope not, anyway.
Okay, because you changed them out a little more often.
Well, we had in the early 90s. There were, you may remember, we had some significant snowfalls here, and we had some outages in 92 and 93 that were multi-day outages, and at that point we decided it was time to begin to reinvest in our system, and we've spent tens of millions of dollars since then replacing poles and wires that literally were vintage 1930, 1940.
Really?
Yeah.
So, and today it's a whole nother world. You have computers and you have things that can raise and lower the power and turn it off and on and things like that that Bernie probably would never have dreamed of in his day.
Probably not. Yeah. Probably not. There's an awful lot of computerization and things today. We can adjust voltage, boost voltage, reduce voltage. We can transfer feeds from one substation to another when there's outages. It's pretty advanced.
And this makes the power more reliable because you're able to get ahead of the problem as opposed to get behind it, I would guess.
Well, I'd like to say we're ahead of it.
I'm not saying when a tree falls over your wires, but I mean something that you
We tend
control.
To be reactionary, of course. However, we've built a lot of safeguards into the system so that when we have a major issue in one location, we can move power from a different location and pick up the majority of the folks that are out.
Our guest is Brooks Shoemaker. He is the CEO and general manager of the Bedford Electrical Cooperative here. And when we return, I'm going to ask him a couple of questions about what you can do to save power and be a little more efficient in your home. And that's a big topic these days. As Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
This is Jennifer Ford, Executive Director of the Fort Bedford Museum, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
Well, I have returned right in front of this really cool substation here on the Lincoln Highway. And before we get back to Brooks here. I want to remind you our program today is brought to you in part by the Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where we like to say Independence Day is every day. Well, what I mean, of course, is you have your own cottage, your own apartment, but you also have a terrific dining room. They'll even give you shuttle service to the market, walking trails, brand new facilities. Heck, I'll bet they can give you a ride to the Rural Electric place if you ask them nicely. And this is all at no additional expense. At Homewood at Springhouse, you're going to fit in because your friends are already there. So give them a call at 623-0349. That's 623-0349 at Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
And if you choose the right house at Springhouse, you can be a member of the Bedford Rural Electric Cooperative.
You mean they have different ones over there? You have yours and the other guys?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay. Well, look, you check that out with Mary Grattan. She's in charge over there. Tell her you want one of those REC houses, not the other kind. All right, there, we did your little plug too, kiddo. Boy, and we didn't charge a nickel for that. Boy, that's good. LED lights. Okay, I have lived through the world, because I'm old, so I lived through the world of incandescent light bulbs for most of my life. They're hot. They use up lots of heat. They use up lots of power. And then they came up with a fluorescent light, which was supposed to be better. They're hot. They use up lots of power. In fact, I want to tell you an interesting story. This has nothing to do with the Rural Electric, but I worked in the John Hancock Center in Chicago for a number of years. And I asked them how they heated the building. You know what they told me? It was a 115-story building. They said, we heat every space in that building with the fluorescent lights. That's how they do it. And it gets cold in Chicago. It stays like 0 degrees for weeks at a time. So I thought, well, that's a lot of heat. So now, we got these other kind of hybrid lights, and now we're into LEDs. Now, the expert that is sitting in front of me right now tells me that the LED thing is where it's at. First of all, would you give us a real short explanation of what a light-emitting diode is and why does it work?
Well, I'm not sure how qualified I am to tell
you
what it is.
Outfit. You're supposed to know this stuff.
But an LED produces a much more efficient, cooler light than either a compact fluorescent or an incandescent light. And the reliability of them is supposed to be phenomenal. We've experimented with them for a number of years, and we find that the higher quality LED lights seem to live up to that billing.
Yeah.
In my own kitchen, I had three can lights in the ceiling, 65-watt, floodlight kind of deals. Mm-hmm. And did some renovations a few years ago and added five more. So now I've got eight with 65-watt equivalent LEDs, and I'm using less power than one of those first three did.
Man.
I mean, it's phenomenal, the savings. The compact fluorescents, there was savings there in comparison to an incandescent bulb. But the light wasn't pleasing. There was a delay when they came on. They just weren't real user friendly. The LED light, it's immediate, not really affected by the cold. The light is pleasing. It's an effective light, and people really seem to be appreciative of them.
Well, as I get older, light becomes a real issue around my house.
Well,
and I was trying to remember the CFLs. Yeah, I read somewhere the frequency of the light is not right for the human eye, and then what's one of the reasons the CFLs weren't successful? But this thing is. And they got it. Sounds like they've got it right this time.
This appears to be successful. I've had some experience with some organizations that changed out in mass,
mm-hmm.
Their whole buildings, their whole homes, and they've seen some significant savings on their monthly bill. We believe so strongly in that we're going to roll out a program to cooperative members here later this summer where through our G&T cooperative in Harrisburg that we buy our power from, we're going to distribute four LED bulbs to each of our residential members. It'll save them money, and consequently, it's going to save us money.
I want you to know that Brooks told me this was my big scoop of the day. I don't get scoops very often, so I really appreciate this.
I can tell you, this will be the first time this has been made public.
Right. Well, we'll blast you on all four radio stations, guaranteed, by tonight. Well, I think this is great. And I would imagine that in a big industrial setting, you start replacing this stuff in mass, it becomes a serious saving. And we're talking about thousands of dollars a month, I would guess.
It can be.
Yeah.
It very much so can be. It can be lighting in a factory or a warehouse can account for 20, even 30% of their consumption. And if you can reduce that by 60, 70, 80%, you're doing something.
You mentioned to me before we went back on the air in the break here that the way you distribute power is very efficient. And you said that some of your investor-type colleagues, the other guys, who will, have a lot of subscribers on their line, but over a mile of wire or so, you can do better. Now, how can this be? You use the same kind of wire. You use the same kind of, I would assume, step-down transformers, things of this nature. So what makes it special? You have little people going up there and checking it all the time, or how's it work?
Well, I'm proud to say, and it's a testament to cooperative folks all across Pennsylvania and the United States, I suppose. Across the Bedford REC system, we average about 7 members per mile. Across our neighboring investor-owned system, they average about 35 customers a mile. That's right. A significant difference.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, a mile of our line isn't any different than a mile of their line, other than we have fewer folks on it. Costs the same to build, costs the same to maintain. And I'm proud to say that our rates tend to be 30, 35% less than theirs. So we think we've got some efficiencies. Not only that, but you can walk in the door here at the office anytime you want. You can talk about your bill. You can talk to a customer service representative about anything.
Yeah, that is a nice point, because it is oftentimes hard to reach these big utilities now, including the phone companies. In fact, I used an analogy. I was on a little bit of a tear about the fact that there was no cell service down at the Hyndman. I spent a good deal of my adult life in emergency management as a volunteer. And not having adequate cell service down at Hyndman is a significant threat for them, not just because the train wrecks every 30 days, but the fact that they can't have any way to getting out of town. And in the old model of the Bell Telephone Company, when they built a telephone system in a Bell System phone, they had to provide service to rural areas by decree. That's how they made their profits in the big cities. That was the deal. You can make as much money as you want in the big cities, but you had to provide dial tone to some farm that had a 900-foot driveway or else. And it worked. And, of course, in 19-whatever it was, they blow it up when they blow up the Bell system. So we're back where we kind of started here, and I think that's one of the reasons why Hyndman can't get phones. If we were operating under the old BAM system, the Bell system, they would have a cell phone, mm-hmm. even though the cell phone company may not be making a lot of money there. So you provide a real service by doing what you do, but somehow, magically, you make money out as well for your members. I mean, make enough money to be operating. I realize you're not a profit-making outfit, but
well, we're a nonprofit. Yeah. We're a nonprofit organization that naturally right. can't mean that we don't make any money.
Right.
I mean, we do make money. We've got to finance our operations and finance our rebuilding of our system and replacing equipment. So yeah, we do make money.
But you can put it back into CapEx and things like that, where a lot of outfits might not want to do that.
Well, we're not pleasing shareholders. We don't have you know, preset thresholds that we dividend thresholds that we have to meet. Now, any profit that we make in a given year ultimately gets returned to the members who took service from us in that year. So I mean, it ultimately goes back to the membership.
Are there any rural electric cooperatives serving towns or cities? Or is that why they're called rural electrics?
That is why they're called rural electrics. We have a handful of customers that are technically in boroughs,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part, you won't find that.
Right.
Now, there have been in other states, maybe a little bit in Adams County in Pennsylvania, just places where the town has grown into the cooperative
into
area.
The system, right.
Yeah, and that
But
happens.
You wouldn't deliberately go in and try to compete with one of the big
Well, we there. Can't. Pennsylvania has territorial laws, and as of the mid-1970s, it was pretty clearly defined whether a new structure was going to be a cooperative member or an investor-owned customer.
So if I were going to built a new house out in the country today, and I'm inside your geographic area, and I want power, I'm automatically a member.
Yes.
The minute I sign up.
That's
just the way it is.
There are times when you have someone that's right on the dividing line, and
right.
that will go out, will meet with the investor owned, will decide whose customer or member it is. But if you're not on one of those lines, then you're very clearly
system.
One or the other.
Our guest is Brooks Shoemaker, and he is just giving us a wealth of information about this topic because I didn't know anything about this before, as I'm sure maybe you didn't. I mean, we kind of take it for granted. We turn things on every day and don't give it a second thought.
Well, for instance, I've lived in Bedford my entire life, and I came to work here when I was 28 or 29 years old. And I knew this building sat here on the edge of town. I ate at Subway plenty of times. I didn't understand or know what we had here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it happens a lot. And when you get to know something, you wonder why you didn't know about it before.
Yep. And that's one of, we try to keep a low profile. We do our job. We try to be a good steward of the community. We try to help in the community with hanging Christmas lights or different things.
Well, I was going to ask you that. You guys are in the big public service business. I know that. And you're known for your Christmas light hanging operations. I mean, this is something that I guess people are very aware. And what else do you do besides taking them down and putting them up? It's always in terrible weather, too, by the way. I really feel for your linemen out there doing that.
I can't say enough about those guys that donate their time to go out and do that so that the community does look nice at Christmas time.
Yeah.
What else do we do? We donate to local charitable organizations. We contribute to fund drives for fire trucks and ambulances and playgrounds. And we look for ways where we can make a difference. We don't have the means to make tremendous difference. You're never going to see us writing $250,000 checks to anybody.
Sure.
But a couple $100 here, $1,000 there, we try to do what we can.
Could you provide temporary power, for example, to an event like a big farm fair or something, if you were asked upon to do that? Or
if
is that
it
within
was
your tariff to do that
was
kind of thing?
Within our service territory, yeah. We could.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So you could go down there and do it and then take it up and bring it back. Because I've known electric companies do that from time to time.
We have done that on occasion.
Yeah. Our guest is Brooks Shoemaker and a Bedford native, by the way, so he's okay. He's approved. You're okay to listen to him today. And he is really doing a great job in telling us what's going on here. Back to the public service thing a minute. The very fact you're a nonprofit relieves you of a lot of burden, doesn't it? So you can pretty much operate your own store the way you want to. Is there any other things that this enables you to do that another power company couldn't do, like the public service when you want to, and you say returning some of these benefits if you have a good year, things like that?
As far as what we can do that they can't do, no, not really. I mean, the biggest difference from us being a nonprofit is a nonprofit cooperative is that our profits ultimately are returned to our members. And yeah. Our members live right here. They're your friends and neighbors, our friends and neighbors. We're not beholden to stockholders in New York City, or we don't really pay a lot of attention to what the stock market's doing today or yesterday. We're more concerned about keeping the lights on, keeping the cost down, and keeping our men safe.
There's been a lot of excitement about clean energy. You go over to Somerset County and all you see is windmills. Does that make any sense today in today's world, or—
The windmills haven't really made a lot of difference. I mean, some of those commercial windmills that you see on the mountaintops,
yeah.
I presume they're profitable for the companies. Solar power is something that there have been some significant advances in solar mm-hmm. technologies over the years. The issue we have with solar power is net metering.
Mm.
The way the laws are written today— We have to net meter a residential solar installation,
mm-hmm.
and it's frankly not fair to those folks' friends and neighbors because the rest of the folks end up subsidizing them.
Yeah, I'd wondered about that because when the power goes the other way, then what happens?
Well, when the power goes the other way, essentially we're buying it from them
right.
at retail.
Right, not at the generation rates you already have.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
And that is an issue. As long as that is at play and the tax incentives and everything are out there to
right.
to subsidize them, it's never going to be a fair playing field. That being said, solar power, well, from a commercial standpoint, I mean, the sky's the limit. I mean, only limited by battery technology.
Mm. Well, good luck with it. I'm out of time, but I've really enjoyed speaking with you. Did I miss anything important here? Okay. Wanted to make sure we didn't miss anything because, you know.
I don't think
so. He said
to
be sure to ask you, so I want to make sure I want to get in trouble with him because he's probably listening to this. But you've been a great sport. I appreciate it very much, Brooks, for taking the time to talk to us.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
We want to thank Brooks Shoemaker of the Rural Electric Cooperative talking to us. And he didn't abuse him. I told B we wouldn't, but it was really great to be with us. I appreciate it very much. Bedford County was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.